with our teaching on divine settlement. Divine settlement. And I want to believe we all know the text for this teaching. And it has been from, and it's always from, 1 Peter 5, verse 10. You remember? 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But may the grace, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the mighty name of Jesus. And that will be my experience and your experience in Jesus' mighty name. I say divine settlement or divine establishment occurs when we get something new, something we don't even think we deserve. Of course, you know, your spirit knows that this is a miracle. When we are in that position, where we are in that situation, you can say God has divinely intervened on your behalf. And we see a lot of this, even in the scripture. And we see a lot of this in our life today. For instance, when you experience deliverance from challenges or struggles, God is settling you. It means when God takes you out of a negative situation and place you in a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And I want to believe the people that are in the sanctuary this morning, even those that are watching online, you are in that position now. And God will make you to enjoy that in Jesus' name. I'm sure you'll be wondering, why is Pastor saying, the land flowing with milk and honey, with all the struggles, with all the pressure, with all the stress I'm going through, even I've been in this land, I've not gotten a job, I'm still looking for a house, a husband. What have you? I am telling you, God has divinely intervened on your behalf. And we see an example of this in the life of the children of Israel. If you read in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, it was by God's divine arrangement he brought them out of the land of Egypt to settle them in that land that flowed with milk and honey. And that same God is the same God we are still serving today. He changed not. And he has laid it in our heart that, yes, we may not understand it fully. We may not have seen it in full context, but divinely, he is going to settle us as members of Jesus Palace, Calgary, of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Amen. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord God is here and he's going to settle you, he's going to settle me divinely in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 2, even as we learn about this. Genesis chapter 2. Let's read from verses 7 to 18 quickly. Genesis 2. And we're going to read from verses 7 to 18 quickly. I read. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which com, com, compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bethlehem and the Onyx stones. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hidkel, that is, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name. Just some of us will be wondering, what has this got to do with divine settlement? Yes, it has a lot to do with divine settlement. If you follow with me that passage that we read, we'll discover that it is the plan of God for man to be divinely settled. It is the plan of God for man to be divinely settled. The Bible told us in Jeremiah 29 verses 10 to 12. Jeremiah 29 verses 10 to 12. He said, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So it is the plan of God for him to settle us divinely. When you look at the story that we read, you will discover that it was God's plan himself for a man not to labor, not to be under any struggle. Because the Bible told me that it was God himself that planted the garden. It was not the making of Adam. It was God himself that created a job for Adam. He planted the garden. He gave Adam the garden to dress it. So God himself has divinely said to Adam. And God said, look, this man, I don't want you to be alone. I'm still going to settle you further. I'm going to give you someone who will help you. So God was interested in divinely settling Adam, just like we are. We knew this story very well. But because of the choices that Adam made, even with the woman, the helpmeet that was given to him, struggle began. They deliberately walk out of that divine settlement that God has given to them. I don't know about you, but I do know that God created you. I do know his plans for you, they are good. They are of peace. And it is to bring you to a good end. These are the plans of God, divinely from the beginning. But where have you missed it? Where is the struggling coming from? Where is the stresses coming from? These are the things that we will be praying when we pray about divine settlement. Ordinarily, from the word go, God has perfected it that we should not struggle. But fortunately, we lost it. Like I told us, even in that Exodus, the children of Israel, it was when they went against God that their troubles began. But when they cried back unto God, through Moses, God was prepared to deliver them. And God told him, Moses, I've heard their cry. I am going to do a new thing. I'm going to take them out of this bondage of Egypt, and I'm taking them to my promised land. That land that flowed with milk and honey. God was prepared to settle them divinely. Just like many of us. And this is one of the things that made my heart to bleed when I see a lot of us, people in particular from my culture, that find themselves in North America, and we are just behaving as if we don't know where we are coming from. It is by God's intervention that you are here or that I am here. I know some of you may say, no, Pastor, don't tell me that I put in the application because my friend told me, or because I have good certificate, I am so qualified, that's why I'm here. But I am telling you, it is God telling you, I want to settle you divinely. That's why I brought you to this land. And when you look at the land, even as compared with the Garden of Eden, it's flushed with milk and honey. Is it everybody that have access to it? No. But because you have been divinely set to, God brought you here. But unfortunately, like I said, many are abusing it. Many even don't even know what it means. But thank God there are a few that still recognize that it is not because they are so smart. It is not because on the prompting of friends, but they understood that it is in God's plan. If you are here, you don't understand that, please do today. Why am I pleading with you? Because God has brought you to a good land. But we must understand how to enjoy this divine settlement. So God himself had that plan. But unfortunately, like I said, even Adam lost it. Like many are now losing it. Why did Adam lost it? We knew it, right? You are very familiar with your Bible. I say one of it is the fact that Adam began to live in disobedience. And this is who we are as human beings. We are quickly found to disobey God. But unfortunately, most people think they are disobeying man, particularly if the instruction is coming from a pastor or a bishop or wherever. It's God you are disobeying, not that pastor. And anyone that disobeys God will walk out of that divine settlement. And that's what we are seeing today too. This is what we are seeing today. We see it in marriages, and this is why a lot of marriages are under stress. We see it in even our educational pursuit. This is why a lot of people are under stress pursuing education. What God has not placed in them, what God has not given them ability or capacity for, they go into it. We see it even in finance today. Oh, the little that God said, bring back into my house. No, I can't give it back to him. Therefore, he says, robbers, to devour your finance. Oh, we even think that 100 is not even enough. How can I give back the 10? We are walking out of that divine settlement. But then the Bible told us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. He said, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by this sword. This is the word of God. Why are people rebelling? Why do they refuse? Why are we not willing even to eat of the good of the land that God himself has provided? You want to ask me, why did Abraham disobey? Where he doesn't even need to toil? Do you know what it means to even prepare a garden, not to talk of planting it? All is just for you to just go there, dress it, and be fine. I don't even want you to enjoy it alone. I'm going to give you a helpmeet. Adam was given a woman, just like us too. Oh, you man, I don't want you to be alone. I've given you my precious daughter. Just take care of her, enjoy. But out of disobedience, out of our unwillingness, out of our rebel mind, this woman is not good for me. That's what we always say. She's not compatible. Oh, that man is not compatible. I will walk out of this. Then you walk into struggle, into stress, living outside of the divine settlement. Yes, many of you might say, but it wasn't Adam's fault after all, Eve deceived him. So Adam, where were you? Why did you allow Eve to deceive you? Why are you not at your duty post? Sir, why do you leave the woman alone for serpent to come and deceive her? Even that the woman went into adultery, now you complain. Oh, my wife is in adultery. That's why we are no longer compatible. I'm walking out of this marriage. You leave the divine settlement because of you lacking in taking responsibility. Brethren, if we continue to live in disobedience, forget about divine settlement. Of course, when you look at this, we lost this plan, even through Adam. You know, I'm bringing Adam into this situation, comparing it with our own life, even today. Because of spiritual death, what does it mean to be spiritually dead? When you continue to live a sinful life, you continue to commit sin, you are spiritually dead. I don't care whether you are being redeemed for 20, 30 years. You might even be one of the founders. You might even be sitting with the general overseer. If you are committing sin, you are spiritually dead. I know people will say, I don't fornicate. Fine. You don't embezzle money in your office. Fine. But you lie. You are a sinner. Oh, I don't lie. You lie. The pastor asked, we do not see you in church. Yes, sir, I went to work. Fine. But the pastor looked into the church record. $5 is not even on your name that you pay tithe. You are a liar. Because you told me you went to work. If you went to work, you have earned an income. Why are you not paying tithe to the church or to God? Let me know. To God. I mean, that's sin, right? Yes, this. That's why I say we don't fornicate, we don't drink, we don't... Those are big ones, right? But what about the simple lies? How about the simple lies? If you are in this, spiritually, you are dead. And if spiritually you are dead, you can't be in divine settlement. But if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be made spiritually alive. Again, maybe that brings to question if truly we have faith in this Jesus Christ or God that we are talking about. Otherwise, if we do, then trust him. Don't lie about you not having money to pay tithe. Do it, and let's see if he will not open the windows of heaven concerning you. He will, divinely, financially, he will say to you, brethren, let's check ourselves. I know what I'm talking. I was once in that position. I was lying. I was making money back home. Instead of me to pay tithe, I will not. But unfortunately, whatever is profit of my business gain there, it's what they will never pay until I repented. By the time I repented, I've shared this. I was in awe of God. 100% upfront, 6 months, I've not even done the job. They will pay it. My wife can bear witness to this. Brethren, just be faithful. Don't be spiritually dead. That's what I'm trying to bring to us. And this was exactly what happens to Adam that we were looking at. That was why I was asking, where was Adam? How come Adam gave room for serpent to be able to encroach into that garden that Eve was deceived? Like many of us, why are you giving room for another man to encroach your home, that another man is sleeping with your wife, and you are accusing her of adultery? What were you doing? It takes two of you to commit that sin. There was a case. The man was going about claiming I'm doing the work of God. Because he claimed he's a pastor. Sleeping with a young woman. Eventually, it got exposed. My wife knows what I'm talking about. And the woman came. How can he do that? Hey. Man, where were you? Where were you? Don't you know if he is going about the work of evangelism, he's vulnerable? Why don't you go with him? You are busy. Now you see. Hello? Brethren, we can't afford to be spiritually dead. If you are, then don't expect divine settlement. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. He said, for God did not appoint us to wrath. No. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake up or sleep, we should live together with him. This is the essence of Jesus coming. It is for us to be spiritually alive. Why we lost the plan? Sin. Again, we know about this. We have been once seriously about this in Galatians 5:19-21. I don't know which of it is still manifesting in your life. If there is any, please go to God today. Because it will continue to hinder you from enjoying divine settlement. Sin and disobedience, they are obstacles to divine settlement. So if you engage in sin, you can be sure you are the one hindering your divine settlement. You don't need to doctor your resume. No. If you do that from the beginning, you know even if you get that job, you are not likely going to be settled on that job divinely. And this is why you see a lot of people, they keep complaining, I don't like that job. Because that's not even the job that is meant for you. You lied. Brethren. But we all know that it was even through this Adam we are talking about that sin came to the world. Simply because they disobey him. Simple instruction. I've given you everything in this garden. I work it myself. I just want to put you in charge. But out of, say, 100 trees, just these 2 trees, please don't touch them. That was the simple instruction, right? Why don't you enjoy the remaining 98 freely and leave the 2? Why don't you enjoy the wife God has given you freely? Probably you must have paid your dowry. I hope so. But if you don't, maybe that's why you can't enjoy her. But if you are paid, enjoy her freely. You don't need to go and look for that strange woman or that strange man, as it may be. Because there are women too that are chasing after strange men. So that you will say, oh, he's just talking about man. Why don't you be contented? Even if there are shortcomings, pray to God. Lord, you gave me this man. He's not living up to his expectation. Pray for him. Not that you go and look for another man who will end up destroying you. Honestly, they end up destroying. They end up destroying. That's the truth. I told my wife, any man, I don't pray for it, any man who says he's lusting after her wants me dead. That's the simple truth. And any man or any woman who is now lusting for me wants my wife dead. That's the truth if you don't know. And that's why I say I pray such man will not live again. Oh, pastor is selfish. Yeah, I can be that selfish. Because I don't want her to die. And I'm sure she doesn't want me to die too. Right? That's why I say the man must have gone on an errand. Amen. Yes, the man must have gone on an errand. But then I have to be there for her too. So that I don't leave a loophole. And that's what I'm trying to pass across. Don't let us leave a loophole. And that was what became of Adam. even that they sin against God. But glory be to God, even though that sin came to the world through the man Adam, redemption came to the world again through second Adam, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if you have received him. If you have not, please do so. Please do so. I urge you. That you are here now, or you are hearing me on the through the technology. Please receive him. And that's why I want us to, let's quickly go and read from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read from verses 45 to 58. In other words, even though we lost, it is the plan that we are divinely set to, we lost that plan, but then there is redemption made available unto us. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 58, I read, "And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, that is made out of dust." We read that in Genesis. "But the second man is Lord from heaven." Please read your Bible along with me. Yes. "But the second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly." Are you heavenly? This morning we are reviewing the topics we did in the Sunday school in the last few weeks. Everything was pointing to where? Eternal glory, eternal living. Are you heavenly? 49. "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, provided you have given your life to him." If you have not, you continue to bear that image of first Adam, the dust. And if that is what is happening, there are chances that you will not enjoy divine settlement. But the way out is reading verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery." That's four. It's a mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Hallelujah. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." I pray we will not miss this. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" It is then we are finally, divinely settled. But if you can't get to this, it's all about first Adam. "Therefore, my beloved," 56, "the string of death is sin, and strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your giving is not in vain in the Lord. In fact, the more you give, the more you are blessed, and the more divinely you are settled. Conclusion. Brethren, let the enticement of sin that takes away or that robs man of divine settlement not be mentioned amongst us. Romans 6:12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. I pray that as we look into this topic, because we still continue in the month, God will settle you divinely. God will settle me divinely in the name of Jesus. We started to look at this, looking at the first Adam. Through him, sin came, and we lost that divine settlement. But there is yet the second Adam. Through him, life, spiritual, is given. Please give your life to him, and he will settle you divinely in Jesus' mighty name. We are going to pray. And it's my prayer that God himself will answer us in Jesus' name. Please, let's rise to our feet. God bless you. Let's rise to our feet. Let's thank God for the word that we have had. Let's thank God for the word we have had. I know it may have touched some of us the way we do not expect. Yeah, that's what the word of God should do. It should reprove us. It should correct us. It should encourage us. So let's thank God for it. That Father, we thank you if your word has come this morning even to reprove me. I thank you if your word has come to correct me. I thank you if your word has come to encourage me. Let's pray it. I don't know which aspect of it you are getting, but it's the true word of God. And I've made you to know that God is interested in your divine settlement. God brought you here. It was not a mistake. Don't see it as a mistake. If things are even not the way you want now, go back to him. It's his plan. It's his plan. It's his idea. Though God may have used some people to bring you to this, but thank him for that purpose. Lord, I thank you. I give you all the glory. Receive my praises in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Psalm 143 verse 10. Psalm 143 verse 10. See? David said, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Remember, David said, you are my God. If indeed it's your God, pray to him that, Father, lead me to live uprightly. Lead me to do your will so that I will enjoy your divine settlement even as you have planned and proposed for me. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, you are my God. Because I know you have saved me through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, washing away my sin. Help me, Lord, to live uprightly so that I can continue to enjoy your divine settlement that you have proposed for me, even according to your scripture. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Lead me to live righteously. I need your help, Lord. I'm able to do your will. In the name of Jesus. Yes, draw me closer. Draw me nearer, Lord. This is my son. Father, draw me closer. Brethren, pray that God will lead you. You'll be able to live according to his will and purpose. Because you have an understanding of his plan for you, that divinely God has planned it from the foundation of the world to say to you. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I know we are all seeking him, diligently or otherwise, but we are still seeking him. Let's pray. The Father, grant me that faith to believe you. Grant me that faith to believe you. So that when those challenges come, you will give me the grace to overcome them, that I may enjoy your divine settlement. In the name of Jesus, your word told me you are the rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Even as I seek you, Father, reward me. In the name of Jesus, Malika Shaka Talaba. Let it not be that, Lord, the challenges that we are facing are drawing us away from you, Lord. Rather, we pray this morning that these challenges will become a stepping stone unto our victory in you. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, our Father. Thank you. Thank you for your word of assurance. We know you cannot lie. Oh, blessed be your name, my Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And because of our time, we're still going to pray. But I want us to pray. John 14. From John 14, verse 1. He said, let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the promise of God. Let us pray that, Father, let my heart not be troubled by the challenges I am facing. I will continue to hold on to your word, because I know divinely you will say to me, blessed be your name, my Father. Glory be to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please hold your brother or your sister. Hold your brother or your sister and look unto him or her in the face and say, the Lord will settle you divinely. Say it as you mean it. The Lord will settle you divinely. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's a word of prophecy, and so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Do we have any other announcement? No? Let's begin to thank God for today. Let's thank God for our brethren that traveled, that the Lord God will grant them journey mercies. That's why some of our members are not here. But I thank God for those of you that are here and those that are online. Every of your sons and daughters that has traveled, my Father, you grant them journey mercies because you are a faithful God. Blessed be your name, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Let us share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, your goodness and your mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you, man. Have a wonderful week. Sister Bimpe, please, just 1 minute.